Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
Today, we're continuing our series. In fact, we are, I believe, concluding our series on prayer. And I say sort of concluding because we're never really done talking about prayer. It's a really important thing in the life of the believer. Prayer is just talking to Jesus. But it's a lot more than that. But that's the basic thing. It's talking to Jesus. And prayer is us seeing Jesus as our friend, as our counselor, as our confidant, right, our therapist. We're seeing him as the one with a lot of wisdom. We're seeing through prayer that Jesus is interested in us. You know, like when somebody has a conversation with you, you come to see, oh, wait, they actually care about me. They're taking the time to have a conversation with me. That's pretty cool. And so it goes both ways. Recognizing how much Jesus cares about us, and then it's us communicating with Jesus how much we care about him. So two things happening. I'm saying, Jesus, I'm interested in what you have to say to me. And then I'm recognizing, oh, wait, the creator of the universe cares about me. He's interested in me. And I think we can forget that pretty often. We think of God as big and far off and a little bit intimidating. I don't know. I don't know if you feel like God is near or far from you right now. But I think that for a lot of us, God just feels so big and powerful and mighty and holy and a little bit scary, like he's going to catch me in a sin or something. And God is powerful and he is holy. But he's also known as Father for a reason, because he desires close relationship with us. So we're in Acts chapter 2 today. It's Acts 2, 42 to 47. I have this, I'm reading it in the New Living Translation today. Acts 2, 42 to 47. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. That's Acts 2, 42 to 47. This is the believers. Jesus has just, you know, risen from the dead. He's ascended back to heaven. And the believers now, this is the early church. This was what the church looked like at the beginning. All right. So if you wonder, like, oh, how similar is church today with church back then in the early days? This is what it looked like. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper. That would be when we take communion, and to prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. Well, that would be cool if we shared everything we had with each other. Oh, my gosh. I don't know if we're that great at sharing. My girls have a hard enough time sharing their hamster with each other. Or, you know, like, this is like, wow, they were really growing together. And they were really I think being refined, I think there is probably something really cool, because when you are, you know, spending time together like that and sharing with one another, I think that there's a lot of character that's developed in you, right? Doing life with people. Scripture says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You know how two really hard things scraping against each other, it sharpens it. And so what it does is it makes it better. It makes it more effective at doing what it was created to do. So there's four things that stood out to me that the disciples, the believers, I would say all of the believers, were devoted to. All right? So everybody say devoted. Okay, devoted. Devotion, devoted. It means it's like your focus. You are committed to it. It's what you do every day. You're devoted to it. You're committed, okay? So teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayer. Those were the four things they were devoted to. Teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayer. All right. Now, is that what every believer does? I don't think so. I do not think that every person that believes in Jesus is necessarily devoted to these four things, but this is what the early church looked like. And it seems like it was a really effective thing for them, because they said that they were worshiping together, they met in homes for the Lord's Supper, they shared meals, they were praising God, enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Now, that's a big deal to me, because the reason that I even wanted to be a pastor was because I wanted to see other people get saved. Okay, so I have never been interested in having a church that was cooler than the church down the street. My goal has never been to get people from another church to come to our church because our church is cooler, better, whatever. Not trying to put on a show that will draw other Christians to our church. I do not consider that church growth. What I consider church growth is when the church grows in number because people are getting saved. So what I'm talking about is people that don't go to church, people that don't know Jesus, they get saved, they become believers, they know what Jesus has done for them on the cross, and they're trusting him, and they're wanting to figure out how to live for Jesus, they're figuring it out, and they can come join our church and learn what that is, what that looks like, because there's other believers in the church that can pour into them and encourage them in their faith journey. How many of you know that we need other people to encourage us in our journey? Yeah, we've all had somebody that has poured into us, that has reminded us of the promises of God in our lives. We need one another. And so my prayer is for us as a church that we would not be adding to our numbers from just people that are like, oh, that sounds like a cool church. Oh, I like it. They have good potlucks after service or whatever the thing is. But that we are drawing people that don't know Jesus. Okay, so how do we do that? Here's what we look at. There's two things that I want us to think about today. One is the minimum. And one is the maximum. All right, so as I'm reading this scripture, as I'm reading Acts 2, 42 to 47, and I'm hearing what the early church was doing and the believers, what I realized is there's a minimum that we can do, and then there's a maximum that we can do. All right, so minimum, if you're gonna have church, let's think about that. Church, at minimum, you need believers. All right, to have a church, let's just say minimum to have a church is that you need believers and people that are getting baptized, okay, believers and baptism. Communion, I think that's basic. At minimum, if we're going to have a church, we should take communion regularly. The word of God should be preached, All right? That's a minimum. I consider, if you're not preaching the word of God, that's, I don't consider that church. That's a club. Guidance of leaders, regular gatherings, and worship. All right? That's minimum. Minimum. I think where you head into the maximum, like what's the ideal of what God's looking for from his church? Teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayer. This is what God is really looking for from us. And so there's a difference between when you get the minimum from something versus the maximum. And you know it. Anything that you've done in life, you know there's a difference between when you're giving the minimum and when you're giving the maximum. Yesterday, Pastor Matt and I went and got massages. And this is not something we normally do, but we're like, you know what? We've had a rough week. We should probably get massages. That's a great idea, right? And there's this little spot in town, so we're like, we're going to give it a try. So we went, and I have gotten massages over the years, and I have had massages where people gave the minimum. They barely rub your back, you know? And then they pat you on the shoulder, and they say, time's up, you're done. It was probably, you know, it was supposed to be an hour massage, and they give you like 45 minutes maybe. You know they're not really trying. I would call that they gave me the minimum. Yesterday, this lady gave me the maximum. This lady went full on as much massage oil as she could. She was literally standing on my back. She was like doing my feet, my shoulders, my head. I even let her massage my face, and I never let people touch my face, ever. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to see. What is the maximum like? What all is she going to do here? And literally, I kid you not, this was incredible, and it was a full hour, maybe more than an hour. I think it was more than an hour. Like, she gave the maximum. And so what she did with all of her heart. And I was just like, wow, blown away. She gave it all. And it's really a cool thing when you see somebody give it their all to whatever they're doing. They do it with excellence. They don't just do the bare minimum. You know, when I was a teacher, I loved students that came to class early or that stayed late and would ask me questions afterwards. I was like, oh, they're the ones that are curious. I like that. I like the ones that did all their homework, that actually did it themselves instead of having somebody else do it for them. I like that. I like it. They're giving the maximum. They're putting their all into it. What I see here in Scripture is that we can have a church at minimum doing the worship and the communion and regular gatherings and having leaders, and I think that that's good. That's good. But there's something really powerful that happens when we kind of shift over into doing like the maximum. And I know when I say maximum, you're like, well, because can you ever do the maximum for God? You know, like really? But what I'm saying is doing it with all your heart, with all your heart, committed to the teaching. How can I grow? Lord, what are you wanting to teach me? Committed to fellowship with each other. And I don't just mean the pastor planning a bunch of fellowships. That's good. I love it when I love it when you come to our house. I think that's awesome. But fellowship with one another, right? Oh, come have lunch with me. Do this, do that. You know what I mean? Like, that's fellowship with one another. It's pretty cool. And prayer. Devoted to prayer. And I think that prayer, like I said, we can come to prayer when we need something, right? We often come to God in prayer when we're desperate. That's okay. That's okay. I think God likes it that we come to him when we're desperate and we cry out in need. And we say, Lord, I really need you to intervene here. I think God likes it when we pray like that. But I think that he also really loves it when we are committed to praying day in and day out, and we make it a lifestyle of prayer, a lifestyle of seeking Him, not just because we need something from Him, but because we recognize that a relationship with Him involves two-way conversation happening on a regular basis. Scripture actually says that we should pray without ceasing. So pray without ceasing to me means the conversation with God starts in the morning when I wake up, and it's going all throughout the day. And I'll be honest with you, I don't have an hour that I spend in a prayer closet each day. I'm not that spiritual. But I do talk to God a lot all throughout the day, and I do make it a point to listen to Him, not just talk. Because if we're not careful, we can make it a whole one-way conversation, and we forget, oh, wait, God wants to speak to us. And where does God speak to us? He speaks to us when we're a little bit quiet, all right? We have to make space for Him to talk to us. And I have this tendency to want to fill all the quiet spaces of my life. I even have AirPods so I can listen to music if I'm having some downtime. I learned this actually many years ago when I would drive to Anaheim. When I lived in Southern California, I would commute to teach English as a second language in Anaheim at a university there. And it was like sometimes an hour. A 15-minute drive became an hour just because of traffic. And I learned to be quiet and listen to God and be okay with silence, because I didn't have air conditioning in my car, and it was hot there, and I didn't have a great CD player or anything like that. I mean, that's what it was back then, with CD players, and I didn't have a CD player that worked in my car, and so it was either the radio or just silence, and I learned to really appreciate the silence and letting God speak. Now, when we're committed to prayer, there's a few things that happen. There's fruit that comes as a result of prayer. I'm not just saying pray to pray. I'm not just saying talk to talk to God. I mean, yes, God cares about you, and yes, praying is amazing. But there's fruit that flows from it. I can tell you that for sure. So fruit of a life committed to prayer, there's three things that I'm going to mention today. There's more, I'm sure, but there's three that I'm going to highlight today. First one is, fruit of a life committed to prayer is harmony. Harmony. All right, so the early church, they had everything in common. This life, as they were devoted to prayer, there was this harmony. Now, remember, harmony is not everybody being exactly the same or doing exactly the same thing, but harmony is where it flows well together. It works well together. It considers one another, right? And that's what we're intended to be. The body of Christ is to be in harmony with each other. That's one thing that comes from a life committed to prayer. The second thing is generosity. Generosity flows out of a life committed to prayer. So generosity isn't something, a generous spirit isn't an action, right? It's an attitude. It's a heart posture. And so as we spend time in prayer, as we spend time devoted to God, one of the fruit that we see in our lives is that we become generous, unexpectedly so. We become generous people, generous with our time, our talent, our treasure. We want to give what we have, and we want to share it with people, something that we wouldn't ordinarily do. Normally, we'd want to keep it to ourselves. Normally, we don't have time, but you find yourself being generous as a result of this conversation, this daily conversation you're having with God, because you become more aware of what He's wanting from you, and you become more aware of how much He's given you. And then the result of that is like, I want to give back to you, God. Like, how can I? I want to give back. The third thing that I find comes from this life committed to prayer, beautiful fruit from it, is that it is very attractive. And what I mean by that is a person who's committed to prayer becomes attractive to others. It's like just saying that I believe in Jesus is not attractive to people. But a person who's committed to talking to God and hearing from Him will just automatically start to attract other people. And that's where the body of Christ starts to grow. Because people are attracted to a person that is kind and loving and generous, right? That's attractive. And we, as the body of Christ, we want to be attractive, like I said, to unbelievers. I mean, it'd be good if we're attractive to other believers too, right? That would be nice. But like I said, our mission, our goal, our vision is that we would be making new disciples, new believers would be added to our community. That is what Pastor Matt and I, our heart is, because we know that there are people here in San Bruno that don't know Jesus, who are broken, who are insecure, who are lost, who are stressed, who are overwhelmed. And we know that Jesus is the answer. We know that Jesus is the answer, that He came to bring life and freedom. And so our prayer is that we be attractive, that whatever is at our church, whatever is our community of believers, that the way that we talk to people, the way that we live, the way that we act, that it's attractive to people. And so that our worship is a sweet sound to the Lord, that our actions and our attitudes really reflect the heart of God. And that flows out of a life of devotion to God. It flows out of, among the things that I listed, a life devoted to prayer. There's really no shortcut to it. I think that sometimes we want to look a certain way or be close to God or be more obedient or whatever it is, whatever you're wanting in your life. We want this thing and we want like the quick way to get there. You know, we want the shortcut. We want whatever. Give me just a couple, two or three quick steps. Everything on TikTok gives you these little quick little steps, or Instagram. They, you know, just 1, 2, 3. This is all you have to do, and then it's just all perfect. But I think in God's kingdom, in God's family, there's really no shortcut. It's a day-to-day-to-day commitment to practicing the things that are important to God. And like I said, it looks like a life devoted to prayer. It looks like a life that is all about fellowship with one another. And when I think of being devoted to the apostles' teaching, I think of that as to maybe consider throughout the week one thing that you learned from the message on Sunday. You don't need to highlight everything. You know, we'll talk for 20 or 30 minutes. I don't think that everything is going to be a huge highlight for you, but there's going to be something. Write it down and meditate on it throughout the week. Not just think about it on Sunday and say, oh, that's great, but go back to it throughout the week. Like, that to me is being devoted. That's next level, all right? That's going from the minimum to the maximum. That's like, okay, I want to get everything out of this that I can. I'm not just going to church to check a box. I'm going because I want to grow, because I believe that God wants to do something in me that's not just for me, it's for other people too. And so I'm willing to go the extra mile. I'm willing to put in that extra time. I'm gonna start making it a habit to pray every day, to talk to God every day. How do we do that? Maybe you have to put an alarm in your phone. Maybe you do. Maybe for some of you, you're already really talking to God a lot. Maybe you need to remind yourself to listen to God. Maybe you need to remind yourself to make a little quiet space to hear from Him. But whatever it is, let's make it a habit. You know, maybe start small, twice a day. once in the morning, once at night. That's a start, you know? And then you add to it, and then you'll find that you suddenly have a lifestyle of prayer. And you know what? It's hard for us to get stuck in unattractive attitudes toward other people when we're constantly talking to God about it and when we're asking him what he thinks about it, because it kind of brings us back into alignment with our values and our beliefs, all right? Because there's what I believe and what I value, and then there's what I end up doing when I get distracted, right? And so we want to be devoted. That's why devotion is such a big deal. It's because we have to keep doing it again and again and again and again. And then that's when we see fruit in our life. Most of the things that my daughters now do today, the good things that they do today, it is a result of again and again and again and again them being reminded day in and day out and day in and day out. And there are days where you think they're never going to learn. They're never going to remember. But you keep at it and you stay consistent, and then they learn. Over time, they learn and things become automatic. And for us, this is a spiritual discipline. Prayer is a spiritual discipline. And if you want to follow Jesus and live for Jesus, if you want to have freedom in your life, I say talk to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. And just that action of consistently doing that is going to be freedom in your life. You probably don't even realize how much God cares about what's going on in your life, but he does. Just like that friend that's like, oh, tell me all the gossip. I want to know everything that's going on. How do you feel about that? God wants to know not just what's going on, but how do we feel about it? Like, he cares. He really does. And then he's going to bring people into our lives that will also help speak to those situations. So when I say make space to listen to the voice of God, listen to what God has to say, God doesn't usually show up for me in this audible voice, Allison, pay attention, do this. He shows up in the oddest of ways. It could be a billboard as I'm driving. It could be a friend that sends me a text. It could be any number of things. But it involves me slowing down and paying attention, looking up. I had a friend who said, you know, we were at camp. We were out at summer camp, you know, and it's out in the mountains. We were by Yosemite. It was beautiful. And he said, I want to see a shooting star. Like, wouldn't it be so cool? Like, we're out in the mountains, you know, the sky is bright with stars. Man, it'd be so cool to see a shooting star. And he felt like God said, well, look up. So he looked up, and then there was a shooting star, I think two, just back to back, right then. But what we realized was you can't see the shooting star if you're looking down at the dirt. Got to look up, right? And so a lot of times for us, we are not looking up and out to God to see what he's wanting to do and where he's wanting to speak to us and where he's wanting to grow us. We're saying, oh, God, speak to me. But we're not looking up or listening, right? So prayer postures us and positions us to hear from God. And it positions us to be more obedient to God. And like I said, there's going to be fruit in your life in all sorts of different ways as you make that a practice. Amen? All right. So we're gonna close in prayer, and then we're going to do dedication for Destiny. But I just want to invite you, if you feel like God's challenging you right now and saying, I want you to be more about prayer, I want you to talk to me more, let's just make that commitment right now, you and God, and a commitment and a plan. So a commitment and a plan. The commitment is, I value that, God. I want that to be a priority in my life. I want to make it a priority to talk to you and to hear from you. And then the second thing was, a plan. How do I do this? I'm going to set an alarm. I'm going to ask somebody here at church to check in with me a couple times a week. We're going to pray together. I'm going to be committed to joining a prayer group once a month, or whatever the case is for you. Make a plan. Make a plan, and it's okay to start small, but make a plan. And so, Lord, we commit to you our lives. Lord, I commit, Pastor Matt and I are committed to prayer. We're committed to being a community of believers that pray. And Lord, I'm asking that you would help us to be even more devoted to it than we have in the past. Because nothing that we do matters if we're not seeking you first. That's the priority for us. You, your kingdom, your righteousness, that's what we want, Lord. And we know that you're the one that transforms our lives. And it flows out of relationship with you, time spent with you, time in your word to us, and time talking to you and listening to you. And this communication, this relationship that you desire with all of us. Lord, I pray that somebody today would catch that hasn't caught it before, that this is not just a church service. This is an opportunity to have the best relationship ever, a relationship that changed my life forever. And I thank you, God, for that. I pray, God, that you would help each of us to go deeper with you this week, to spend a little bit more time with you this week. God, that you would be our priority. I want to make you, God, number one, the main thing. I thank you, Jesus, for your commitment to us, for your love and your care for us. Thanks, God, that you don't ever give up on us. You never do, and I just love that about you. You're always there. You're always available. You're not resentful or bitter when we haven't talked to you for a few days. You're just like, oh, thanks. Thanks for hanging out. I'm so glad. You're just so loving and kind like that. I thank you for your heart toward us. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.